Open your Bibles to the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 13. Your Schofield Bible, page 928. It's the book that's immediately after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 13, page 928. Starting with the first verse, we'll read through verse 9. We'll read the verses responsively. The ninth verse is the text verse for this morning's message. And may we, as we always do, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted there. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and I will rend the claw of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. And let's join together on the ninth verse. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And let's pray. Father, you've given us a wonderful day, and you've given us a wonderful place to which we can come and fellowship together and pray together and listen together as we, of course, are once again privileged to hear your word preached. We can't perhaps understand all the depths and heights and breadths of the importance of listening to your word preached. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and faith saves, but faith keeps as well. Help us, we pray, and make this a delightsome, wonderful, blessed day. But help us to be truly tuned in to that which is going on here today, to the preaching, to the preacher. We ask for thy help and thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning from that one little line, Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. I want to speak on that subject today. Thou hast destroyed thyself. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would first give me the attention of our people. There are two types of people this morning in this room. There are those who need what I'm going to say, and they know they need it. And there are those who need what I'm going to say and haven't got enough sense to know they need it. But everybody in this room needs to hear what's going to be said for the next 30 minutes. May they listen carefully as unto eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe he'll have one more sermon. Maybe he can't preach another sermon. Maybe the last time Hudson will preach was when he preached before me at the Sword of the Lord National Convention the last night a few weeks ago. Last Thursday night, sit up straight, look right this way, and everybody listening, last Thursday night I preached the closing message of the West Coast Pastor School. Dr. Jack Trevor, hundreds of people were there, several hundred preachers. And they honored that night my dear friend Dr. Myron Cederholm. I've known Dr. Cederholm for 40 years and loved him. He and I have been dear, close friends. He started the Maranatha Baptist Bible College. I preached the dedication sermon when that college was open. Every building they built while he was there, I dedicated it. And it was about 21 years he was there. But I preached every year at least once, and sometimes two or three times on various occasions. They honored Dr. Miss Cederholm last Thursday night. Dr. Cederholm has Alzheimer's disease. And he was not exactly himself. And I looked at him and I realized that I'm only 12 years younger than he. And then it dawned on me, Dr. Curtis Hudson is 8 years younger than I. I'm saying this morning that, please don't misunderstand this now, one of these days, I hope it's numbers of years from now, but one of these days, you'll have a younger man behind this pulpit. And he will be able to give you some things that I cannot give you. But while I'm still here, I can give you some things that he cannot give you. What I'm going to say this morning is not said by a novice who just read it in the Bible. Though that's enough. And you guys that just started preaching, you preach this book. And you ought to listen to them. But what I'm going to say this morning is going to be said by a grizzled veteran who's seen what he's talking about. I knew it was true as a kid preacher 46 years ago. I know it's true now twofold. I knew it then because the Bible says it. I know it now because the Bible says it, because I've seen it and I've tested it. Israel was destroyed. God had predicted. And by the way, the same thing that happened to Israel and the people who lived in these days of Hosea saw exactly what you and I are seeing today in America. They watched the deterioration of a great nation. They watched the destruction. And as sure as I am behind this pulpit, America is being destroyed. And as sure as I'm behind this pulpit, turn me up just a bit, please. As sure as I'm behind this pulpit, America is going to be destroyed, just like Israel was. Unless America quits turning to liberalism, communism, Clintonism, Hillaryism, socialism, America is going to be destroyed. And though I probably won't live to see its final destruction, many of you will live to see the day when America is destroyed. Israel was destroyed. Now hear me carefully. She blamed her enemies. She blamed Samaria. She blamed Assyria. She blamed Egypt. She blamed Judah. She blamed Tyre and Sidon. She blamed her northern neighbors called Syria. She was destroyed. God said, Egypt did not destroy you, Israel. Samaria did not destroy you. Neither Syria or Assyria destroyed you. Tyre and Sidon didn't destroy you. Are you looking at me? God said, Israel, he said to Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Many people in this room today are exactly the way Israel was. I could have succeeded, somebody says, if I'd had a good wife. But my wife was my destruction. No, she wasn't. Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. If you ever fail, you cannot justifiably point to your wife. Now, she may not have been everything she should have been, but in the final analysis, my Bible says, so now then every man will give account of himself to God. I could have succeeded if my parents had reared me properly. I want to serve notice on you that if you don't succeed, you won't blame a drunkard father. And you can't blame a careless mother. And you can't blame an unhappy home where you were reared.
If you are destroyed, God will say, thou hast destroyed thyself. Last night we ordained four young men to the gospel. Of those four young men, two of their wives came from the ghettos of Chicago as bus kids. And were reached with the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, has a couple of bus kids. Now I want to say this. You folks that have Christian parents, you Howells Anderson, you Hammond Baptist students, and you First Baptist Church kids, God pity your soul if you don't turn out as well as those two bus kids married those two preachers last night. But you say, my daddy didn't take me to fish, and that's why I'm like I know you're like you are because you choose to be like you are. Thou hast destroyed thyself. Israel said, we got some neighbors that are always bothering us, and it's Samaria's fault. God said, thou hast destroyed thyself. Israel said, we got some neighbors up north, our perennial enemy, Syria, and they're the cause of our trouble. God said, thou hast destroyed thyself. I could have succeeded if I had a better husband, somebody says. No, if you don't succeed, I don't care how bad a husband you had. My little mother had a husband that was not a good husband, and my mother was married for all of her life from the time she was 17 to a man who was an alcoholic, but my mother was a success. And if my mother had failed, she would have no right to point to Willis Anthony Hiles and say, he destroyed me. She could point to Costell Mattie Hiles and say, I destroyed myself. I'm sick and tired of this blame it generation. I failed because and these stupid psychiatrists. They ought to take them all out and have mass murder. These idiots put you on a couch and begin to explore back into your past. God said, every man shall give an account of himself to God. I don't care who failed you. I don't care what your background is. I don't care who your mama was. I don't care what your daddy was. I don't care what kind of wife you got. I don't care what kind of husband you got. You will self-destruct. Every life that is destroyed is suicide. I would have succeeded, but I lost confidence in my pastor back home. Your pastor didn't destroy you. You destroyed yourself. My church wasn't what it ought to be. Well, you got a Bible. It's what it ought to be. If you got a King James Bible. If you don't, use a song book. It's a better book than the Bible you got. Well, I would have succeeded, but I had an awful boss. That's what Keith McKinney said. The reason you failed is because you failed, buddy. Thou hast destroyed thyself. You thought I was going to choose you, didn't you? Guilty. You felt guilty. I would have succeeded, but I grew up in the ghetto. Or, better still, I've just had bad luck. It's amazing how those that work hard have good luck and those lazy devils have bad luck. It's amazing how those that get up early and stay up late and sweat while they're up, amazing how they succeed. Preachers say to me, well, if I pastored in Atlanta, Georgia, where Curtis Hudson pastored, or Decatur, Georgia, near Atlanta, I could have succeeded too. I say to preachers across the country, if you were at Pentecost and if 3,000 people were asking how to be saved, you couldn't have gotten them down the aisle. I want to tell you, if you fail, it is your fault, and the words on your tombstone will be, thou hast destroyed thyself. Others can wound you, but nobody can destroy you but you. Others can hinder you, but nobody can destroy you but yourself. Others can knock you down, but they cannot knock you out. Others can lead you to self-destruct, but they cannot destroy you. Others can discourage you, but they cannot destroy you. Have a seat back in the back, please. Nope, unless you got back trouble or something. Others can depress you, but others can't destroy you. Others can tempt you, but others can't destroy you. Oh, but Brother Hiles, I got pregnant outside of wedlock. But this man was so seductive. You got pregnant out of wedlock because you chose to sin. And you can't blame him and you can't blame her. You blame yourself. God said, Israel, I know you've got neighbors up north that are constant enemies. I know about the Philistines. I know about the Persians. I know about the Syrians. I know about the Assyrians. I know about the Samaritans. I know about the Egyptians. I know about them. But the truth is, thou hast destroyed thyself. You will pull the trigger. You will flip the switch. You students that wash up, can't take it. Sissies. Cowards. Weaklings. No character. When you trot your little carcass out of Hiles Anderson College and you head towards home, your teacher didn't destroy you. And the fact that you couldn't get a job didn't destroy you. You destroyed yourself. When you walk, when you decide to quit your Sunday school class, your bus route, your college, your church, and your life is in total destruction and in disarray. Let me tell you again. Here's Israel. She is defeated. She's destroyed and blamed everybody under the sun. But God said, Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. I want to give you some verses this morning. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. We're troubled on every side. This is Paul talking now. Yet not distressed. He said we're troubled, but we're not destroyed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I have a sermon on that I used to preach called Knocked Down But Not Knocked Out. These four statements that I just read, Paul is talking about athletic terms. The first term he's talking about is a wrestling term. And it means we're pressed but not pinned. Look at me. Look at me. We're pressed but not pinned. Now, Roy Moffitt, you can press me, but you can't keep me down. And I may press you, but I can't pin you. Now, to press somebody is to get their shoulders against the, in the old wrestling way, get your shoulders against the floor. But to pin them, you had to count three. The referee had to hit the floor once and twice and three times. And the Apostle Paul said, somebody might press you, but nobody can pin you. You may look up someday and say, this guy right here caused me to be pressed, but this guy couldn't keep me down. He got my shoulders to the floor, but he couldn't keep my shoulders to the floor. And then the next little statement there is a track statement. Look at me. He says, you have gotten behind in the race, but you keep on running. He said, somebody may get you behind in the race, but they can't make you quit. You might can outrun me, but you can't keep me from the finish line. You might get there first, but you can't keep me from getting there. Other people may cause you to fall behind, but nobody can cause you not to finish. You will have destroyed yourself. A third little statement here. Paul said, press but not pin. Falling behind, but still get up and finish. Third one is sort of like a football. It means there's no way, but you found a way. I think about that. I think about Joe Bowen. All-American football player at Texas A&M. Listen to me now. He played in front of the famous jarring John Kimbrough. Probably the most bone-rattling fullback. He was the Bronco Nagurski of his day. He was a strong... He was the Jack Hiles of his day. But anyway, though people hated to tackle John Kimbrough, I saw him. I said, I was the mascot at, in the Cotton Bowl game for the Fordham team. They played against John Kimbrough and the Texas A&M. This guy was unbelievable. His knees, when he ran, his knees ran real high like that. He'd knock you out with his knees. Joe Boyd used to line up right in front of Joe, played tackle. Those days, it played two ways. Didn't have offensive team, defensive team. We were real men back in those days. Old Joe would get down and line up. He'd look across at the tackle on the other side of him. He'd say, "I won't tell you what the play is, buddy. As soon as a quarterback calls three, John Kimbrough's coming through right where we are. And I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm getting out of the way before he gets here." Boy, I like somebody like that. I never have liked these little runners that run all over the field and end up losing a yard. They run 100 yards this way, and they go back this way, and they come over here, and they can't get through over here, and they come over here, and they can't get through over here, and they try the middle, and can't get through there, and finally, they tackle. I like the guy that says, "I'm just coming through." The word "foo" is Southern for through. I'm just coming through. Now, nobody ever comes through, but you can come through. Paul said somebody may press you, but nobody can pin you. Paul said somebody may get ahead of you, but nobody can keep you from finishing but yourself. And Paul said somebody may block your way, but nobody can keep you from getting through but yourself. And then he said that last statement means it's a boxing term. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Somebody may knock you down, but nobody can knock you out. If you get knocked out, it's because it's your fault. If you get pinned, it's your fault. If you don't finish the race, it's your fault. If you don't find a way through, it's your fault. And God looks to Israel and said, "You're destroyed. You're pinned. You're not going to finish. You haven't finished the race. You didn't get through. And you got knocked out." But he said, "The reason you got pinned, thou hast destroyed thyself. And the reason you didn't finish the race, thou hast destroyed thyself. And the reason that you didn't make it through, thou hast destroyed thyself. And the reason you got knocked out, thou hast destroyed thyself. And I don't care who you are. People may discourage you and depress you and tempt you. And they may make it hard for you. But you don't have to be destroyed." There's a second verse I want you to notice. Turn to Deuteronomy 33:25. Deuteronomy 33:25. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 33:25. Look at it. "Thy shoes shall be shoes of iron." Look at me now. "Thy shoes shall be shoes of iron." Look at me. Look at me. I'm preaching to you. Read your Bible when you get home. Read with me and then look at me while I'm preaching. God was saying to the Israelites, this part belongs to this tribe, and this part of the land belongs to this tribe as the land was going to be divided. He gave the tribe of Asher a mountainous terrain. Stones and rocks and mountains, a rough place. And God said to Asher, "I'm giving you iron shoes." You know why? Because you got some rocky days ahead. "I'm giving you iron shoes." He didn't say to anybody else, "I'm giving you shoes of iron." This one tribe of Asher. And they didn't get their shoes after they got through the trip or when they got in the trip. God said, "Before you start on the trip and take over this land, you're going to have some rough days ahead. I'm giving you shoes of iron." What is God saying? God is saying, when you got some rough days ahead, He'll help you make it through. Sick and tired of folks coming to my office. "Well, I would have made it, but my daddy didn't give me enough cod liver oil." He didn't give you enough whippings. Your daddy should have given you some pickled beets. I'm talking about beets right across your... self. Now you listen to me. You listen to me well. If you fail, you will choose to fail. But look at the rest of that verse. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. God said, whatever you got going to happen tomorrow, I'm going to give you that much strength for tomorrow. But here's what you do. You marching down through life, and you come to tomorrow and say, oh, my soul, look at tomorrow. I'm going to go back, and you won't have any strength. God said, if you keep on going, I'll give you strength to take care of tomorrow. As thy day, so shall thy strength. Whatever comes tomorrow, I will have strength for you to take it, God said. Now, God didn't say it won't hurt. He just said you can take it. God didn't say you would see why you have the battle tomorrow. He just said you can take it. God didn't say it would be fun. He simply said you can take it. I want to use an old illustration with a different twist right now. I was praying with a preacher several years ago, a young preacher. We were in the choir of a church after the service. He said, Dr. Hiles, would you pray for me? And I said, sure. And I prayed. And he said, let me pray too. He said, dear God, I've got some tough days ahead. Give me strength for them. I said, shut up. I said, shut up. He said, Dr. Hiles, what did I say wrong? I said, you're asking God to give you strength for the tough days. I said this, son, the tough days is what gives you strength. Let me show you what I mean. Bring me the bar out here, if you would, please. My man. Hurry, today. This guy's got a gun. If you don't like this sermon, one of our security guards. I'm God in this little illustration. And here's one of his children. This is a weight bar. Now, I'm going to put some weights on that bar. But he doesn't say, dear God, give me strength to carry these weights. The purpose of the weights is to give him strength. You fellows who lift weights, you know what? You don't get strength and then press 400 pounds. I'm pressing 400 pounds right now. But you don't get strength and press 400 pounds. You learn to press 400 pounds. You learn to press 400 by getting strength by pressing 300. Now, I'm gonna see what I think he can handle. I'd say 2.5 pounds. But I am going to make this fellow strong. Now, if I give him more weight than he can handle, I'm going to destroy him. But I'm not going to give him more weight than he can handle. I'm going to put a weight here that I know he can bear. But I'm not going to put any more weight on here than the weight that I know he can bear. Now, he didn't pray, God, give me strength to lift these weights. He's saying, give me strength by lifting these weights. And so he puts it down and lifts it. And he pushes it up and back down. Now what's he doing? He's getting strength. Getting strength for what? To lift more weights. So he gets strength, he puts it down. I come along here and I say, I believe he can handle more. But now wait a minute. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, my Bible says, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. So God says, nothing can destroy you but you, because I'm going to give you enough weights to make you strong enough to carry more weights, to make you strong enough to carry more weights. So I'm going to put this weight down here. I believe he's stronger now. And I'm going to put this weight down here. He's stronger now. Now he's going to lift those weights. Notice, I did not give him more weight than he could bear. I didn't put 400 pounds on that thing because he's not ready for that. And God said, I will not give you a burden you cannot bear. Oh, you say, preacher, I can't face tomorrow. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, you say, preacher, I've gone as far as I can go. Oh, no, you haven't. Oh, preacher, I just got to give up. Oh, no, you don't. I said, no, you don't. God never puts a weight on you. He knows how much you can bear, and He never puts a weight on you that you cannot bear, and by lifting that weight, you get stronger. So He lifts that weight, and He pulls it again down and up, and down and up, and now then He's got stronger. So I'm going to put some more burdens on Him. But wait a minute. He's stronger. And I know He can bear this. It may not be easy, but He can bear it. It may be painful, but He can bear it. So I put more weights on. Boy, that's almost more than I can put on. And I put more weights on. Now, a while ago, he couldn't have lifted this much. But God gave him what he could lift. And he didn't whine about it.
I just don't think I can bear this burden.
God knew what you could bear or not before God put it on you. So look at him. He's stronger. He lifts it. And down. And lifts it. And down. Thank you very much. You can put it down. Now let me take you the illustration. Thank you, Evo. God one day came to this man over here. This man has a glass eye. He's had it for how long? 3 years. A little over 3 years ago, God came to this man and he found out he had cancer in one eye. And God gave him the burden. But God knew what Don Boyd could carry before God ever gave him the burden. And Don Boyd has carried his load with grace and dignity and strength. And Don Boyd is a stronger man today because God gave him this burden to bear. God came to Jim Jorgensen. He knew how much he could carry. Now you can carry 2 fountain pens at one time. I could go to most any of these men here. I heard Roy Moffat pray a prayer last night, ordination. I knew what the prayer was all about. God came to Roy and JoJo and said, I want you to carry this burden. And Roy's carried it. He's carried it with dignity and strength. As he's carried all his burdens, and JoJo has too, because she's been sick ever since good night I've known her about. But God looked and saw what Roy Moffat could bear. Everybody can't bear the same thing. Brother Don Boyd might bear a bigger load than Brother Colston can bear. But God knows what Brother Colston can bear, and God never puts on any one of his children more than he can bear. So what am I saying? I'm saying, if you fail, you will destroy yourself. You can't blame anybody because God said, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And God said, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. And with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to get it, that ye may be able to bear it. Didn't say you will bear it, it said you'll be able to bear it. Israel, you blamed everybody but the person who's destroyed you. It's not murder. It's not homicide. It's not manslaughter. You died by suicide. And every Christian who stumbles, whose life is wrecked and destroyed, It's suicide. I can't help but look over here and see Judge Clement. Judge came to this church. He was a practicing attorney. For many years, been a judge here in the area. He sits over here the aisle, next to the aisle right now. God came to this good man. Thank God for a just judge. And God came to this good man and said, I've got some weights I want you to carry. Not only did God place illness on him, but he placed illness on his family. It'd be mighty easy for Judge and Mrs. Clement to say, we have a curse on our family. No, you don't have a curse on your family. God just wanted to make you stronger. And that's what's happened to you. Have you got what it takes? Yeah, you've got what it takes. You may not use what it takes, but God gave you what it takes. I was in New York State. I go there often. New York State has a bunch of bridges, and those bridges are falling apart. Not many months ago, I was in New York State, and we came to a bridge, and there was a place over here, a weighing station. And the pastor drove up, and we got on scales. And the bridge said certain load limit. And the car was weighed, and the man that weighed us said, go on, you're under the limit. They would not let a car or a truck go across that bridge that bridge couldn't hold up. And brother, our God's more concerned about your safety than the state of New York is. And God says, step on the scales. He puts your burden on the scales, and he looks at you and says, let me see how much you can handle, and God will not put on you more than you can handle. Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. If you young people end up, the life is destroyed, you can't blame anybody but yourself. Or you can blame, but you can't justifiably blame. If you ever hear that I've gone under, if you ever hear Brother Hiles is washed up, you rest assured it will not be because of somebody else. Brother Hiles will have destroyed himself. And if I ever hear that you have gone under and that you have had your life destroyed, you can rest assured thou will have destroyed thyself. Quit blaming everybody and tell the psychiatrist to drop dead. And quit letting that stupid humanist look in your past and see if you had a great uncle one day that smoked too much. Or your great, great, great aunt on your daddy's side had halitosis. Or even B.O. You listen to me. You can succeed if you choose to succeed. And if you don't, thou hast destroyed thyself. No one leaving. No one so rude as to walk out during the prayer. If I don't see you, God in heaven does.